everybody. Welcome back to the Morning Lineup Podcast. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, and we are talking Cy Young Awards. They were announced on Wednesday night on MLB Network. It's Corey Kluber in the American League. It's Max Scherzer in the National League. I'm joined by Jim Duquette and Richard Justice. And gentlemen, I don't know if either of you had any surprise here in terms of the results, but it was pretty dominant on both sides. Corey Kluber captured 28 of the 30 first-place votes in the American League. Chris Sale had the other two votes. And in the National League, Max Scherzer had 27 of the 30, with the other three going to Clayton Kershaw. Luis Severino finishes third in the American League, and Steven Strasburg finishes third in the National League. Duke, I'll start with you. Any surprise as to how this all shook out?
You know what? There wasn't a surprise for me. If I had had a vote, I would have voted for those two as well. Especially with Kluber, the way he finished. If you look at the way the voters tend to vote, if you finish strong like Kluber did. I thought for sure, he was going to be the guy. He outpitched Sale certainly over the last 20 starts. Scherzer was the interesting one because, you always have the Kershaw, who's like the best pitcher on the planet when he's healthy, but he had that little blip in his game this year. But Scherzer outpitched him in terms of, 25 or so more innings pitched, at the high level as well. So I really wasn't all that surprised. Happy for both of them. And, certainly with any of those guys, you would have, I wouldn't have been overly surprised if the voters went to Kershaw, but I, for sure, Kluber, Scherzer would have been my vote.
Richard, how about you? This is obviously just the finalist, the group, you had the four guys in Scherzer, Kluber, Sale, and Kershaw. I mean, those guys have really been major focal points of the Cy Young vote going back the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, Sale is the only one in that group who's yet to win one. He's finished in the top six. In all six of his seasons as a starter. So this is a really, dominant group here we were talking about.
Yeah, and I think, I think in the case of Max Scherzer, it's now time to mention him is the best, with Kershaw as the best pitcher of the decade, and to start talking about where he is all time. I mean, he's now in a conversation with Jim Palmer and Steve Carlton and some of the greatest pitchers of the past 60 years. Three Cy Youngs, only Clemens, Randy Johnson, Carlton, and Maddox have won more. In the terms of Kluber, I think a lot of voters, and if I had had a vote, well, wait a minute, I did have a vote. What am I talking about? I think he was so good in August and September, it just blew people away. 10-1, he averaged more than seven innings a start. I think you guys in Cleveland called him the Klubot, but that's what it was. It was watching him pitch. His ERA, his whip was 0.71. That's just nearly perfect. Sale was 308 strikeouts, but his ERA was over the four the last 2 months. So when it got down to it, Kluber just took off. And oh, by the way, his team won 22 in a row. So it was the whole thing. I think everything was connected to every other little thing.
Yeah, we call him the Klubot for good reason. I think if you watch the award show on Wednesday night on MLB Network, Kluber's reaction, oh my goodness, he wins his second Cy Young Award, and yeah, you'd think his library card application got accepted. It was about that much emotion was shown there. So we do have sound from Corey Kluber, though. This is what he had to say about winning his second award and what he takes from this year moving forward.
They're both obviously extremely special. This one, I guess, it just another notch in the belt. I think I heard 19 people, so it's definitely pretty special.
So as we mentioned, Kluber becomes the 19th pitcher to win multiple Cy Youngs, and he definitely deserved it, guys. It would have been hard to imagine him winning this award if you go back to the end of April, early May. He had a 5.06 ERA. He had a bum back. He ended up missing the vast majority of May with that back injury. But then over the course of his final 23 starts of the regular season, a 1.62 ERA. His opponent's slash line in that 23-start stretch was 175 average, 213 on base percentage, 283 slugging percentage. That is about as dominant as you can be in that long of a stretch, Duke.
Yeah, it is. And, I'll tell you, I had a chance to talk to Yan Gomes, who caught him a lot this year. I talked to him today, and I was asking him today. He said, he has such a good curveball that it's difficult to not continue to go to it whenever you need an out or need a it's, let's say, soft contact, which he certainly was good at as well. But the fastball and cutter are both elite pitches as well. So, it's easy, the way he described it, it's easy to catch a guy like that because you're just making sure you're on the same page. You have the same kind of game plan. And, Kluber's the guy that has terrific command. I mean, this year's command is 1.5, almost 1.6 walks per nine. Ridiculous, when you look at it, he almost had 12 strikeouts per nine. So, all of those kind of numbers speak to his dominance.
Yeah, Kluber wound up leading all major league starters in ERA, complete games. He had 5 complete games. He had 3 shutouts. ERA plus, you know, adjusted for ballparks and league average was 2.02. So basically, you know, twice as good as league average. His whip was 0.87. That was the best in the majors. His strikeout to walk ratio was the best in the majors at 7.36. He tied for the major league lead in wins with 18. You know, Richard, you were a AL Cy Young voter this year. I don't know what your process is as far as, you know, how closely you're scrutinizing the awards, you know, as the season is playing out, or if you just kind of look up at the end of the season and figure it out then. But, you know, Sale was really in the pole position for this award, you know, going into August pretty much. And then the Indians hung, the Indians backed up Corey Kluber quite well, in fact, because they hung 2-7 spots on Sale in the month of August in 2 different starts. What was kind of the deciding factor for you, and when do you think the worm turned there?
Yeah, I think that was it when it turned. You know, up until then, I mean, it was Chris Sale's award. I mean, he was having one of the great seasons anybody had ever seen. I mean, the fact that he cracked 300 strikeouts and, you know, he was over 7 WAR and all of that. But Kluber, once he got locked in, and I don't know if it was a mechanical thing, but I think it did start with the curveball. The fact that hitters hit 104 off his curveball, which is almost astonishing. Our Statcast people said he had 141 strikeouts on the curveball. That's the most in the majors. By 33, and he made guys look foolish. But once he got locked in, he made it look easy. And I think that we talk about, you know, his nickname is the Klubot because he is he's a creature of habit. He gets his mechanic. He tries to repeat his mechanics time after time. He's better at it than almost anybody. His work ethic. It's some of the stuff you heard about Roy Halladay. Nobody gets in his way when he's got something to do, and he approaches each day with a purpose in mind. And you know, his career has been like that. He's gone through tough times in his career, and to get to this point, he's figured out what works for him. And when he gets it going, it is a thing of beauty to watch. But that was true of that whole club, you know, down the stretch.
Yeah, it was. And then the playoffs arrived. It was obviously a much different thing. Duke, I'm sure you saw Kluber in the postseason a little bit. It obviously, you know, came apart for him in a hurry there against the Yankees in those 2 starts in the division series, game 2 and game 5.
Yeah, such a surprise, too. You know, they took the gamble and had Trevor Bauer pitch game 1 and gave Kluber the extra days rest in game 2. And then, you know, we're going to come back with Kluber in game 5 on regular rest because that's how he pitches. He likes to pitch, you know, on regular rest, as you know. And he lost command of his pitches. Both he had such good fastball, 2-seam fastball command away to righties and being able to cut it and sink it, throw, you know, kind of the backdoor 2-seamer to righties with that cutter and curveball. And he lacked a feel for all those pitches. It really was unusual to see back-to-back starts like that where he struggled as much. And it made me wonder if he, you know, had some kind of health issue at the end that we weren't being told about and he wouldn't tell us about that, you know, because there were visions of what we saw out of him earlier in the season, some of those struggles. But, you know, in that situation, you have to give the Yankees hitters a lot of credit as well.
Yeah, and Duke, I mean, say that off what you said is I heard from scouts time and again during the postseason, that's not Corey Kluber. They were all convinced there was a medical issue going on because it wasn't a work issue. I mean, he was just a tad over 200 innings for the season. But doesn't it – it's just – I don't know, annoying is the word that these guys, you know, I hate seeing these guys criticized for what they do in October. And I understand that's part of the deal. You have to be accountable. Kershaw's been accountable. Kluber's been accountable. But you want to see them at their best because you want them to sort of finish writing these stories.
Yep. Well, you know, we know the postseason narrative dogs Clayton Kershaw quite a bit, but he was in position to potentially win his 4th NL Cy Young this year. Instead, it is Max Scherzer who wins his 3rd. So, of course, he ties Clayton Kershaw and puts himself in that rare company, just 10 guys to win it at least 3 times. And really special stuff there for Max Scherzer. He's put himself in some rare company. He's starting to polish up those Hall of Fame credentials when you look at the dominant stretch he's had now, going back really to 2013. He talked about what winning this year meant to him, how it was so much sweeter after battling injury all year.
You know, considering when you go all the way back to spring training, I was behind the entire time of trying to. I didn't even think I was going to start the season on time, and the fact that we were able to rush through it and be able to get to start the season basically on time, was we were so thankful for that.
So, guys, I actually thought the NL Cy Young might be a little tighter than it was. We mentioned earlier, you know, Scherzer ended up commanding 27 of the 30 first place votes. I thought Kershaw might get a little more love there. A big difference maker, of course, was innings. Scherzer crossed the 200 inning threshold, whereas Kershaw only threw 175 innings because he had a back injury that cost him 6 or 7 weeks. So, workload still matters, I guess, in the Cy Young. The game is changing. Starters don't deliver the kind of innings they once did. But when it comes to this particular award, you know, going the distance, putting in your 30 starts, that still matters to the voters. What do you think about that, Duke?
Yeah, I was kind of glad to see that did still matter in the voters' mind. You know, he went, like you said, 25 innings more Scherzer did, and he had 4 more starts. You know, and I think there is something to be said for guys that can stay healthy and can pitch most of that season. The toll that it takes on your body, and to be able to pitch at that high level for that many starts, and that's what Scherzer did. I talked to Mike Maddux earlier today about the same thing, and he said, you know, and you kind of see this with Scherzer each time, each year, he's not content. Well, that, you know, he just wants to get better every year, and that's the thing with him. You know, whether it's adding a curveball, keeping the slider, but maybe adding a cutter. Like the guy just doesn't let up when he has a Cy Young season like he did last year. He still found ways to get outs in a different manner. You know, and you know his ground ball rate I think was a little bit lower this year, but he still managed to get outs up in the strike zone, which is something that, you know, in the past maybe was not an area that he liked to attack. Mike Maddux had talked about him using that as a weapon this year, which was very effective for him, obviously.
Yeah, and Anthony, let me say that guys like to do what we do and love to talk about the game, Max Scherzer is as good as it gets. He's a smart guy. He's a curious guy. When he debuted with the Diamondbacks in 2008, he had a fastball and a changeup, and it was a great fastball. And you just thought, now, wait a minute, what is this guy's role going forward? He threw some sliders, but it wasn't a pitch I don't think he was that comfortable with. He gets to the Tigers, and he refines his slider more than ever. And then he's monkeying around in spring training of 2013. He's monkeying around with Jeff Jones in the outfield and just starts throwing his slider slow. And he looks around at Jeff Jones and goes, Jonesy, I think I have a curveball now. And he was looking for that pitch because he thought it would make it – he would be more effective against right-handed hitters. And that's what you've seen. And he has looked around at a cutter. He still throws a changeup. But this year, he threw fewer than 50% fastballs. And I think what we're seeing is just the evolution of a great pitcher. And now when you talk about the best pitchers of this decade, we began with Clayton Kershaw, but Max is right there on his tail now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. He's finished in the top 5 of the Cy Young voting, be it AL or NL, for the last 5 seasons now. And, you know, you guys talk about it was kind of a late bloomer, Max Scherzer was, but boy, has he blossomed in a hurry here and quickly become, one of the great pitchers of his time. I think that, 3 Cy Youngs, you know, you have to start having that Cooperstown conversation. I'm not asking you guys to cast votes here and now, but, you certainly start thinking about it, you know. I mentioned earlier, you know, we're kind of recalibrating our brains to what is normal in this day and age when it comes to a starter's workload. And I think there's going to be a recalibration of what is a Hall of Fame starting pitcher, you know, in the years ahead, because, you know, guys are, you know, pitching 250 innings with regularity, or, you know, the win totals aren't what they once were. So you're not going to have the 300 game winners, that's for sure. So Richard, I'll ask you, I mean, you start thinking about that Hall of Fame context over the last 5 seasons, 2.87 ERA, and this is 163 starts, over 1,000 innings, strikeouts, 1,320 strikeouts. Max Scherzer has been in a rare stretch of dominance over what amounts to, you know, a very long time when you consider the way starters burn out in this day and age.
Yeah, and we can look at Kershaw and say, okay, slam dunk Hall of Fame. He just needs to get his 10 years in, and he doesn't have to throw another pitch. He's there. Max didn't have his breakout season until 2013, that's 4 years ago, and when he was 28 years old. Since then, 3 Cy, like you said, 3 Cy Youngs in 5 years. Now, if he ages well, and given the way he works, given his max effort and all that, you know, with 3 seasons leading the league in wins and strikeout titles and all that stuff, I mean, he's in that conversation, 89 and 33 the last 5 years. You know, and this year he's 32. But he went on the DL for the first time, and he struggled at times by his standard, but he ended up with the best ERA of his career at 2.51, and his 1.78 batting average against was, I think he was one of the five best in the last 50 years. So all we're seeing is a guy that when he's pitching, you want to turn on the TV and watch because something great might happen.
Duke, what do you think of that conversation when you start thinking about him in Hall of Fame terms?
Yeah, I think, you know, like what we see a lot of times with the Hall of Fame, I love the Hall of Fame talk, you know, when you have a stretch like he's had during this last 4 or 5 years, and, you know, he gets a couple more years into that same area, which isn't a stretch. I mean, he's 33, so he's a little bit older, but the workload, as we know, hasn't been quite as high with him because of the early protection, you know, early in his career, where, you know, they were careful with the innings that were developed there. I think he is a guy that's going to, you know, end up being considered for Hall of Fame. He needs a couple more years there, but I think it's fascinating to me when you go back when he was, you know, drafted out of college, there was question marks about his durability before he was traded to the Tigers. In fact, the general manager at the time, Josh Burns, one of the reasons he pointed to him trading him was their concern about the fact that he only had two pitches, like Richard was saying, fastball, changeup, and they weren't sure that he was going to be able to last that delivery. And yet here he is, you know, basically making 30 starts now every season since 2009. So it's been actually the opposite, been about as durable as can be. And now he's cranked his ability to pitch at that elite level. He's cranked that up over the last 4 or 5 seasons.
Well, Clayton Kershaw hears that time and again, but I think that's when you're a left-handed Dodger who does the things Clayton Kershaw does, I guess it becomes natural. But yeah, there's still only one Sandy Koufax, but Max Scherzer is certainly pretty special. And I think the adjustment he made this year, you know, early in spring training, he had the finger issue and had to change the grip on his fastball. So you might have wondered about him at that point, but lo and behold, he goes out and turns in a 16-6 record, a 2.51 ERA. As I said, 202/3 innings, league highs in strikeouts with 268. A whip of 0.9, which is pretty incredible. He allows just 5.7 hits per 9 innings. So he was a deserving winner. And guess what, guys? He doesn't just have the Cy Young hardware on the way. He's got a baby on the way. And he mentioned that to MLB Network.
Yeah, here in a week, you know, my wife's due. So little Brooke's going to be coming on the way. So, yeah, this is an exciting time for us. So, you know, we're really pumped. We're actually thinking we might actually be in the hospital tonight. So,
wow.
Glad we're not.
All right. So, congrats to the Scherzer family and congrats to Max on his third Cy Young. Congrats also to Corey Kluber on his second. That is it for the Morning Lineup podcast. My thanks to Richard Justice and to Jim Duquette. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time.